Thank you. Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, make us have perpetual love and reverence for your holy name, for you never fail to help and govern those whom you have set upon the sure foundation of your loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son, Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading the psalm antiphonally by whole verse. Those sitting on the lector side will read the verses in bold. Those sitting on the choir side will read the verses not in bold. Bow down your ear, O God, and answer me, for I am poor and in misery.
Keep watch over my life, for I am faithful. Save your servant, for I put my trust in you.
Be merciful to me, O God, for you are my God. I call upon you all the day long.
Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O God, I lift up my soul.
For you, O God, are good and forgiving, and great is your love toward all who call upon you.
Give ear, O God, to my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications.
In the time of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me.
Among the gods, there is none like you, O God, nor anything like your works.
All nations you have made will come and worship you, O God, and glorify your name.
For you are great, you do wondrous things, and you alone are God.
Turn to me and have mercy upon me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the child of your handmaid.
Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O God, have helped me and comforted me.
A reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
There we go. Well, happy Father's Day. And happy Sunday after Juneteenth. And welcome to some readings that leave us wondering why on earth they were placed today of all days. Today, after this service, Diane Bamforth is going to be leading a Bible study that's going to look at the big sweep of the Abrahamic saga, going over a couple of generations of the great family of which we are all a part. And I encourage everyone to attend that. It's in room 6 and 7. And those stories, they're our stories. They are the stories of people who try to follow God, to try to figure out who God is and what it is that God wants us to do. And they are still the stories that we live each day. Each one of us. But here, right now, I want to look at just a snippet from that great saga. And it's the snippet that's about Hagar. There are two pieces to Hagar's story in the book of Genesis, and we heard the second half. The first half that we know about is that after Abraham, or Abram as he was called then, and Sarai left and went wandering wherever it was God told them to go, they had lots of adventures. They met all sorts of strange people, and they did all sorts of weird things because it was long ago. And they just kept moving wherever God would tell them to go. But God, when they first left, gave them a little bit of information. God said, "I will make you a great family. You will have many descendants, and they will have land. They will have a place to live." And the promise of all this is that they will be a blessing for all the peoples of the earth. So that's the information they had as they set out on their life's journeys. trying to figure out who they were and who this God is that was calling them. And by the time we start hearing about Hagar, there's been a lot of years, a lot of wandering, and there are no children. What are you going to do? So they did something, or Sarah suggested something that was perfectly legal and normal at the time. She said to Abram, she said, I have this slave girl. Why don't you take her and go get me a son? So Abram did. Well, it was long before the child was born when the obvious problems that you can anticipate began to arise. Hagar got pregnant, and she probably, I imagine, developed a bit of a swagger. After all, who's important now? And Sarah was incensed, and she went running to Abraham, and she said, did you hear what she said to me? Did you see what she's doing? In which case, Abraham curled up kind of like an armadillo with all this armor on the outside and said, hasn't got anything to do with me. She's your problem. You deal with her. So Sarah did deal with her very harshly, we're told. So harshly that Hagar eventually ran away into the desert, into the wilderness. And when she was there, not knowing what she would do, what was going to happen to her, an angel of the Lord found her and talked to her and told her she was going to have to go back and live with Sarah some more, which was not a really good sounding thing to do, but given the times and given the circumstances, it was probably her best option. And we all know how that goes sometimes in life. We're given two choices, neither one are very good, and so we have to pick one over the other. But before Hagar went back to Sarah, God gave her a promise. She was told that she would have a boy, she would have a son, and he would grow up, and he would be the father of a great nation. So back she goes. I think she probably went back with some regrets and some worries and some wondering if she could do things differently to get a different outcome. I think we're all familiar with those kind of thoughts too. And I often wonder if when Sarah saw her, she was filled with some regrets and some wonders if she could do things maybe a little differently and get some different outcomes. Although, to tell you the truth, I don't think at this part of the story, Sarah was at that place at all. I'm hoping she did get there eventually later, but at this point, she didn't. So she comes back into the camp, and Ishmael, which means God hears, is born. When they were still in the wilderness, when Hagar is talking to God, God tells her, you will name the child Ishmael, because that means God hears, and I heard your cries. And Hagar returns the favor and says, and I will call you God. El Roi, the God who sees, because you see me. I think she's the only one who actually names God. There's a lot of naming in this story, but she's the one who names God in this story. So time goes by, and Ishmael grows up. And the promise to Abraham and Sarah is repeated, and Sarah indeed does have a son, and he grows a little bit. He's a couple years old. Now it's time to wean him, which is a time of a big party And that's where we're back to the story we heard this morning that Anthony read to us. At that party, Sarah sees Ishmael playing with Isaac, her son, and she sees Ishmael laughing. And the word in Hebrew for laughing carries, or playing, carries a connotation of laughing, and she's not sure. Is he laughing because they're playing and having a good time? Or is he laughing because he's taunting his little brother? It's a family, it could be either way, right? But as we all know, we hear what we want to hear so often, and Sarah hears a threat. She hears a threat to her son, and she hears a threat to his inheritance. And she again goes to Abraham and says, "You do something about this. We cannot have this." And Abraham again kind of curls up like an armadillo. He doesn't come off in this story very well, I'm afraid, at all, and neither does Sarah. But he curls up and he says, "Well, I got it. He's my son and I love him." But then he hears a voice. He says it's God speaking to him, who says, "It's okay, everything will be okay. Listen to Sarah." And so he does. And Sarah makes sure that Hagar and Ishmael are forced out again into the wilderness. Lovely family. Okay. Hagar and Ishmael are out in the wilderness. It looks like they're going to die of thirst. Hagar leaves the boy, and as she cries out to God, an angel again appears and says, "I heard the cry of the boy. It's okay. Don't worry. God has made you a promise." It is so hard to see what's right in front of us when we're filled with fear and worry and despair. But the angel came and gave her enough peace, enough calm, enough whatever within herself that she could suddenly see that there was a stream right there, a well right there, depending on who's telling the story, from which she could draw life-giving water. And she gives the boy water, and he grows up, and there's lots and lots of stories about Ishmael and how he becomes the father of a great family. Now, I want to pause for a second and say that the family of Abraham has a bunch of different branches, and different branches tell this story, remember the details of this story, differently. And that's common in families too, isn't it? Siblings remember the details, how old somebody was, who said what, who was really the important one. We all remember these things differently. And we can argue and fight and get into all sorts of trouble about those differences that we don't agree with. Or we can, if we so choose, decide to listen to one another with wonder at the breadth and the depth and the beauty of our shared stories, hearing something new for us in what they might have to tell us. But from our perspective, what we hear so often in this story is an absolutely awful tale of a family that doesn't care for everyone, but rather picks favorites and casts some out into the wilderness. And we also hear, though, of a God who doesn't do that. Not really. Because, you know, I don't think Hagar or Abraham or Sarah really expected God to meet Hagar in the wilderness that first time or that second time. Because this was the God of Abraham, not the God of Hagar. But this journey they're on is a journey of learning who God is. And what they find out is that the God of Abraham and the God of Sarah and the God of Hagar and Ishmael and Isaac and you and I is a God whose mercy is so wide that we are overcome with wonder. And I think too, for us, I know for me, sometimes I fight with that understanding of the wideness of God's mercy. I'd really rather have a small group that I can deal with and toss everyone else aside. But the good news in this story for us today, I think, is that that is not the journey we are called to walk on. Not a journey of narrow concern, but a journey of always walking into wider and wider wonder and mercy. And the other part of the good news I hear in this story for us today is when in the gospel says he has come to set a man against his father and daughter against her mother, and there will be a lot of trouble. We know that's true. And then when he says, and if you turn away from me, I'll turn away from you, I start to get worried. But we hear in this story that maybe that's how we feel sometimes. Maybe that's our worry sometimes. But in truth, no matter who we are or where we are, God is always journeying with us. That's what Abraham and Sarah learned. That's what Hagar learned. That's what Jesus actually teaches us over and over, no matter where we are or who we are. There God is, and there the mercy of God is. And what Jesus wants us to do, though, is pay attention to our attitudes and what we are doing and saying to one another. Because through Sarah and Hagar and Abraham and all the rest, we are inheritors of a promise. A promise to be a great people who are to be a blessing to all the world. And so our task each and every day is to learn how to do that in a better and better way, as best we can, always noticing, always knowing that when we fail, and we're going to fail so many times, so many ways, we don't need to curl up into that armadillo. There's a joke back there. but instead, we can stay open and free because of the love of God who leads us where we need to go, who calls to us, who sees us where we are and how we are, hears us, and brings us forward as long as we're willing to answer that call, so that each and every day we can become more and more a people who can slowly but surely become a blessing to the peoples of all the world.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In peace and with courage, let us pray to the Lord.
God of relationship, you come to us as three in one and one in three, reaching each of us where we empower the leaders, where we are. Empower the leaders of our church to counteract cultural norms of fear, abuse, and disdain for those who are different, instead rejoicing in the gift of our diversity. Let this Pride Month encourage us to expand our hospitality, to speak out against injustice and discriminatory legislation, and to become bold change makers. We commit ourselves to the work ahead, looking to your example through Christ. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Ruth and Naomi, you bring us out of our homelands into new and unknown realities. You are determined to accompany us, never leaving us alone. As people around the world cross borders and boundaries to be with those they love, remind us all of our home in your family. We pray especially for those who are separated from their loved ones by distance, hostile borders, prison walls, or estrangement, that they may be safely and joyfully reunited in this lifetime or in your kingdom. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Joseph, you dress us in coats of many colors. Remind us of the beauty of our uniqueness and the belovedness of our bodies and of all creation. Give us new eyes to see each other and ourselves as you see us, holy and whole. We pray especially for those who are discerning and discovering who they are and who they are becoming, that your love would guide their way. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace,
hear our prayer.
God of Rahab and of Esther, you have called us to act in times of crisis and civil unrest. Embolden us even when we are afraid, even when we do not have confidence in our own power, to move courageously toward the world we know is possible. We thank you for the leaders, activists, prophets, teachers, mentors, artists, and architects of liberation, those who have seen the fruits of their labor, and those who need us to continue the work. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of the unnamed, you know and love each of your children, whether or not their names and struggles are known to us. We long to care for those who suffer in silence, unwilling or unable to seek help. Inspire us to reach beyond ourselves to invite all our neighbors into the family of God. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace, God of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, You draw us out of death into life. Free us from the bondage of fear, that we might fully live as your beloved children. We pray especially for those we love who have died, whose absence is keenly felt. We know they will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.
We pray for the repose of the soul of Richie Renner and for his family and friends who mourn.
Eternal Creator, in your wisdom and grace,
hear our prayer.
God, our rock and refuge, keep us safe in your care and strengthen us with your grace, that we may pray to you faithfully and love one another boldly, following the example of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever.
Amen. Let us confess our sins to God.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. We have several announcements. As usual, I will start by wishing everyone a happy Father's Day. I know that many of us are missing our fathers today. Others are blessed to be together. And so just wherever you are in that journey, especially as we had such a good sermon on families, there's a lot to process. So I have a prayer here. This is a collect for Father's Day by Father Brian Owen. O Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you have revealed yourself as a heavenly Father to all your children. Bless, we pray, all earthly fathers. Strengthen them to nurture, protect, and guide the children entrusted to their care. Instill within them the virtues of love and patience. May they be slow to anger and quick to forgive. And through the ministrations of your Holy Spirit, may all fathers be strong and steadfast examples of faithfulness, responsibility, and loving kindness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. On our yellow announcement sheet, there are several things that are happening today and throughout the week and beyond. Once again, I would remind you of the Bible study happening after church today. I'm sure there's time to grab a cup of coffee or something, and then head over to room 6 and 7, where we will be talking and thinking and praying about the story of Abraham, the stories of Abraham, as we've been thinking already about that today. We have some things also coming up during the week. We always try to list the main meetings that are happening and things like that on our yellow sheet. I especially wanted to point out that the social justice and outreach meeting is Monday. It's always on Zoom, so it's easy for people to tap into that if you want to learn more about the work of social justice that's happening in our community. And also, we have a new leader, for a new chair for that group, Desai. Judd is here, and will be stepping into that very important and exciting role. So you might want to turn up just to welcome her to that. Next Sunday, we're having our, we try to do a graduation sermon most years. If there is somebody who is graduating either as an undergrad or a graduate student who is ready and willing to do that job of giving a sermon. And so we're so delighted. James Hochbruckner, who many of you know, he's been in choir, he's done so many things around the church, will be back with us next Sunday to preach. So just lots of good things going on. I only touched on a few of them, so please take your yellow sheet with you. And also make sure that if you're not getting our weekly email, that you let the office know that you would like to sign up for that. Let's see, do we have welcome bags ready? If anyone is new here, has never received one of our goodie bags, if you raise your hand, we will get a welcome bag to you. I see somebody on that side. Tony, there's someone right there. We're always happy to be able to hand these out. I lost my train of thought. There was something else. Oh, I know. Speaking of celebrations and milestones, we are welcoming a new curate next month. So I hope you read about that in the weekly email. And like I said, if you have that gift of hospitality and welcome and want to be part of bringing her into the fold, so to speak, then please be in touch. And it would be really nice to have a little group of us doing that. Are there other celebrations and milestones?
There are. Let me just look at my list here. Evelyn Keddy will be celebrating her 94th birthday this coming week. Congratulations, Evelyn.
If Evelyn's watching, happy birthday.
And, let's see, Jerry Holbert has become a great-grandfather. Congratulations,
Jerry. Wonderful.
And Janet and Russ Gebhardt will be celebrating their 48th wedding anniversary this coming
year. Oh, happy anniversary. Wow. Others, yes.
Tomorrow, after I finish cleaning out my classroom and turn in my keys, I will be officially retired
Congratulations. Wow. Giving up teaching is a hard thing to do, and I know you've been a blessing. Yes. Tomorrow. Happy birthday. Yes. 53rd wedding anniversary coming up. I don't know. It's like a competition. Do we have anyone? Okay. That's exciting. Yes, Janet. Your birthday is coming up. Wonderful. This is great. We have a lot of celebrations and milestones. I also just had my, I think, 16th ordination anniversary. I got to keep track of that. That was this past week. It's actually on Juneteenth, which is kind of cool. So let us say the celebrations and milestones prayer together, which is on page 5 of your bulletin. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We also have a prayer for Juneteenth, and you're welcome to pray this along with me. It's at the very top of your yellow sheet. O God of radiance, fascinating in your kaleidoscopic diversity, help us to love ourselves as we mirror your image to the world. As we grow tired of this struggle, Lord, and we feel alone in our weariness, Strengthen us when we grow faint of heart. Give us a memory for the victories of our ancestors. Help us to remember a time when our forebears faced immeasurable pain with the sure knowledge that you were with them. Remind us that we are truly never alone. When we grow faint, gird us with your strength. When we doubt, fill us with confidence that the beauty of our skin, ebony, mahogany, lemon, ivory, and taupe, is but a mere reflection of the richness of your glory. Help us to understand the gifts we bring into this broken world, the love of color and variety. This we ask in the name of Jesus, who touched all and loved all. Amen. All are welcome to gather around the table for communion. We receive communion at the altar rail. Unless you need it brought to you, and then just let an usher know, and we will be happy to bring communion to you. The bread that we make for this is gluten-free and vegan, and we hope that it is available to all who feel called to the table. You can, when the bread is placed into your hand, you can consume it directly and wait for the chalice to come by to drink the wine, or you can wait with the bread in your hand, and then the chalice bearer will intinct it into the wine and hand it back to you. You can also cross your arms, indicating you would like to receive a prayer or a blessing, but not the bread or the wine, whichever you like. So again, all are welcome to that. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Praise to you, holy and living God, to deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace. You looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ, crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Blessed Martin and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amén. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia! Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia!
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise as you are able for the Eucharistic visitor sending prayer.
Joni, we send you forth bearing these holy gifts that those whom you visit will share in Christ's body and blood.
We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup.
Amen. Our prayers go with you.
Let us pray. God of abundance, you have fed us with the bread of life and cup of salvation. You have united us with Christ and one another, and you have made us one with all your people in heaven and on earth. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit, that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God, the Creator, Jesus, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter and Advocate, bless you and keep you in eternal love.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks.